I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game. Some sports fans grow out of the enthusiasm they felt when they were children, and some fall back into it. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Changes over time in games and the people who play them. That has been our theme this week. How do you feel about some of the changes, good and bad, that you have witnessed for your decades as a sports writer?
I'm going to ignore the obvious insult implied in the word decades,
only
because it's true.
Same decades, you and I.
Yeah. I think the commodification of the athlete and the corporatization of large American sporting events, college and pro, has been the most distressful development. It can be laid back at the feet of television, as a lot of things can be. I think that the most important change in the actual people who play the game, and this goes across almost all sports, is big people who are fast.
Hmm.
I remember the first time I ever saw Boris Becker, right after he won Wimbledon for the first time when he was 19 or whatever it was, he looked like a linebacker. LeBron James is the same size as Antonio Gates, who's a tight end. Karl Malone was 6'9" and ran like a deer. Every sport I can think of, the biggest difference, and don't factor PEDs in on this at all, but the fact is we have big people who are really fast.
Is it too much on the fantasy level to look forward and guess what the sports landscape is going to look like 20 years hence?
I think, first of all, let's talk about the fantasy level, because that's a development in the last 10 or 15 years that's just exploded. I think fans have found a way to be vicariously part of the game when they've been removed from the actual game. One of the ways they've done it is fantasy sports, where you can be your own general manager. This has changed not only sports, but gambling. Down the line, I think the freight train of genetic manipulation is coming down the tracks, and I don't think anybody's ready for it. They're going to have to construct an entirely new ethics around genetic manipulation and considering the hysteria that's attended chemical enhancement of sports, I'm not real optimistic that they're able to handle it.
Charlie, when you were a child and all things, or at least lots of things related to sports seemed possible, was there a particular sports fantasy you entertained, or maybe you were able to fulfill that dream?
I'm fairly sure I didn't fulfill the dream. I was always intrigued by swimming the English Channel. I thought that was an interesting thing to do. I read a story in Sports Illustrated about it, and I remember one story of a guy hallucinating that the water around him was filled with dogs.
Yikes.
Which I thought was kind of an interesting hallucination. You know, that kind of thing. But in terms of team sports, I mean, I wanted to be a basketball player when I was very young, and I didn't grow into that. So, you know, here we are.
I had wanted to jump off this week's theme for a bit and into some of this week's news, but the following story fits both categories, Charlie. After two hearings in New York that failed to produce a settlement in NFL v. Brady, Judge Richard Berman scheduled another hearing for August the 31st and said he would issue a ruling by September 4th, but it will probably go well beyond that.
Yeah, I think Judge Berman expected at this point in the summer to be in the Hamptons on his third martini, and I think he's fed up with both sides. He seems to be uniquely fed up with the way the NFL has conducted its business, which I find interesting. But again, this is a problem that should have gone away at the end of January. Why it is still in the news and why it is still of this immense national importance, I have no idea. It's a remarkable media story.
The competition at the Rio Olympics next summer will include golf.
No!
The last time golf was an Olympic sport was 1904, and those games also featured the standing high jump, standing broad jump, and standing triple jump. So can we look forward to the return of those compelling events?
I don't know if you know it, Bill, but you have wandered into my wheelhouse. The 1904 Olympic Games in St. Louis are probably my favorite sporting event ever. Not only did they have all the events you mentioned, they had tug of war.
Excellent.
Not only that, these Olympics were put together to coincide with the 1904 World's Fair. So they extended over almost the entire summer. At the World's Fair, they had what they called living exhibits of native tribes from around the world. And there was a day in the Olympics called the Aboriginal People's Games or something, where the various tribes around the world who were living exhibits came out and competed. The whole thing revolted Pierre de Coubertin so much that he went back to Europe and arranged a new cycle for the Olympics so this wouldn't count. They had the next Summer Olympics in 1906, so people would forget about 1904. This is the Olympics where Fred Lors took a taxi cab in the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Olympics where the eventual winner of that marathon almost died because they'd been giving him strychnine to restrict his blood flow for the last 5 miles. This is the Olympics where a Cuban marathon runner took a boat to New Orleans, got his pocket picked, hitchhiked to St. Louis, showed up at the starting line in street shoes and long pants, and an American athlete went and got a pair of scissors and cut off the guy's pants, and he ran for the marathon. This is one of the great sporting events of our time. So any vestige of the 1904 Olympics is a spit in the eye to the spirit of Pierre de Coubertin, including golf this time.
I just had no idea that I had opened up this cornucopia of wondrous, wondrous things. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, and for 22 years, he's been joining me here at Only a Game. Let's see, that's a little over two decades, Charlie.
That's right, two decades. Only one, we only recently became plural.
Okay.
I feel younger already.
In any case, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.